Good morning and welcome to our Lighthouse podcast on Monday. Last week we looked at Proverbs chapter 10. And Proverbs chapter 10 was like a sit-down conversation where God was giving us instruction for us to examine ourselves with. And it really was the comparison of actions for the wise son who would make the father glad, or a glad father, and the actions of a foolish son who would bring sorrow to his mother. Well, today we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 11. And something unique about Proverbs chapter 11 is it goes a little bit deeper and it looks beyond the action, and it's saying what's going on in the mind and what's going on in the heart. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, beginning verse 45, he said, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Whoa. So what a great little litmus for us to consider. When something goes wrong, what is it that comes out? Well, yeah, I can't say that what's come out of my mouth has always been the thing that has been honoring. But it causes us to consider what is in our heart. What does come out of our mouths? What thoughts do we have that direct our speech or our emotions as they are, maybe? You know, and Matthew wrote for us, in as Jesus spoke, as recorded for us here in Matthew chapter 15, it says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person." So the recognition is the things that come out of our heart, actually, these are actions that we think we're taking towards other people, and in fact, where we think that we're harming them or, you know, wishing them harm, but in fact, what they're doing is defiling us. So, you know, that chapter 11 is simply this. It's something that says, check your heart, examine your heart. Don't be afraid. Let it know that that's what tests are for, is to help us to examine and to learn and hopefully to change. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the examination of the heart and the mind. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have given us your word that you've tell us is alive. It's living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it's able to divide the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrows. But it's also the discerner of the heart and the mind. And so, Lord, let your word do the work that you know we need. We need a heart surgeon that does a beautiful work with the scalpel of your word. So we ask that you would bless our time today, that it would be fruitful in our lives, even though it might be a little bit painful, Lord, that you would do a work to draw us closer to you. Oh, that we would be filled up, that our hearts and our minds would be filled up with you, and that abundance is what flows out of us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 11, beginning verse 1, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord." So a false balance is something that is both an action combined with speech, that they're both deceptive. They're both trying to gain advantage. But a just weight is his delight. God delights in us looking for the opportunity for honesty and integrity to be revealed. Not legalistically, but with the joy of honoring the Lord. Verse 2, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace." Now, I don't know if you've seen things like this or not. I was watching American Idol because people are incredibly talented, and some should not sing. as I think we all know. But there's one scene where a father is just absolutely sure that his daughter was the next American Idol, and he accompanied her with his guitar. And Luke, as he was listening, you could see him kind of cringe a little bit with the guitar playing. And the little gal saying it was okay, you know, but in comparison to some of the others, she was young and she just needed to mature. Well, when they told her no and go and mature and get some more experience, Dad blows up. Dad rushes out. Dad's doing this and he's just, you know, going off. And so then comes disgrace. The poor little gal was just saying, Dad, don't disgrace me. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to take their counsel. But it was such a vivid example of it. But anyway, then it says, but with the humble is wisdom. You know, I did a study once in a wise teacher. His name is John Corson. Some of you are familiar with John. But John said something similar to this. And I can't quote him exactly because it's been a little bit. But basically he said, you can't understand how to be humble until you've been humiliated. And you can't understand forgiveness until you've been in a place where you've begged or longed for mercy. And you can't understand kindness until you've been harsh and someone's responded to you with love. You see, it's interesting to me that when Jesus was on the cross, paying for my sin, your sin, our sin, that when he gave up his life, when he said, it is finished, the work has been completed, there was nothing else for man to do, something happened. There was this major earthquake that took place, and in the temple, there was this one spot, it's called the Holy of Holies, and it was surrounded, it was protected by a 10-inch thick curtain, and that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, which is fascinating that it would be. But it opened up the Holies of Holies, which was the most sacred place for the Jewish people at that period of time. But in essence, what it was a picture of the fact that man now has access to the Holy of Holies. But the real veil that was rent was the life of Christ. You see, it was his life that was rent for us. When we are the ones who were harsh, he demonstrated kindness toward him. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. In our worst place, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, and so what that is that's a picture of just saying, I want your forgiveness, Jesus. I know where my heart has been because my heart's been in a place where I've taken advantage of others and, oh, that was so wrong. My heart's been in a place where I've been arrogant and huffy and demanding and disgraceful to myself and to others around me. It's not as though I haven't walked in those places. I think most of us have. But the place that changes me is when I receive that love that Christ has for me, that kindness that he has for me that I don't deserve, so that I might get a greater understanding of that. That's what chapter 11 goes on and does for us, is it gives us an examination of our hearts of considering, man, when I look at it, we read the word upright or righteousness often. And so it's like, here's the character of a heart that has been surrendered to Jesus compared to a heart that's still fleshly and of itself. So watch real quick. We'll just look at a couple of extra verses. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. You can't buy your way into eternity. But righteousness delivers from death. Christ's righteousness, not ours, his. I have much that I could probably talk about a whole morning for a podcast. But let me go one more. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. You see, self-reliance is something that's saying, I know better, God. And God is saying, won't you consider what I have done for you that you might be Jesus reliant? You know, we're going to stop right there today. And I just want to say thank you for tuning in. and listening. And might I encourage you, go to Proverbs chapter 11. Continue to go through those verses and consider the heart of the believer in Christ that's been changed by Christ compared to the heart that's still stubborn and full of themselves. God bless you, and thank you for joining me today.